Pierre Lumumba here at the Aberdare's Country Club and Sanctuary. And indeed, behind me, you can see the giraffes and the zebras. And this is only a tip of the iceberg. This is Garden of Eden in miniature. And we are here to continue our discussions on the continent of Africa. And today, we are discussing an individual and a society that remains very significant in different ways in the continent of Africa, George Soros and the Open Society. George Soros came into the world in the manner that we know him in 1979, and he was a declared philanthrop. And indeed, through the medium of the Open Society, we know that is present in over 120 countries in the world and many countries in the continent of Africa. Their claim to fame, according to their mandate, is that they focus on human rights. They focus on press freedom. They focus on education. They focus on health, and they focus on democracy. And indeed, in Africa, you will remember that the very early interactions of George Soros with the world was offering scholarships to black students. The question is, with all these declared mandates, which on its face you cannot quarrel with, you cannot quarrel with George Soros when he says, I'm supporting education. And indeed, there are examples of different areas in which education has improved because of the intervention of the Open Society. You cannot quarrel with George Soros when he says that I'm in the human rights space, because human rights are universal and are indeed indivisible. And we are talking about human rights, whether they cover the socio-political rights and the economic and cultural rights, and they are present in that space. You cannot quarrel when you talk about the question of democracy, but we'll have something to say about democracy. And I speak from a position of reasonably good knowledge. Our very good friends in senior positions in the Open Society in the continent of Africa, and I'm familiar with their activities. But be that as it may, there are those who argue, and with certain degrees of justification, that the Soros agenda, its innocence notwithstanding, is one that undermines certain things which are of an African nature. Let us go into the human rights space, for example. In the human rights space, we all proceed from the premise that after Paris in 1948, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and its categorization in those early days into civil and political, and then, of course, economic, cultural, and then the question of development, that they were indivisible. But over the years, we have seen, particularly from a Eurocentric and Americocentric perspective, the different permutations of human rights. And one of the areas that has been a source of concern is the LGBTQI. And they say that the alphabet is continuing and nobody knows where it will stop. Be that as it may, Africans have taken the view that human rights that is being propagated without sensitivity to the realities on the ground is one that must be frowned upon. And I know quite a number of countries where the Open Society has come into open conflict with the activities of the Open Society. It is therefore important that the Open Society, particularly in the human rights space, is sensitive to the realities of the continent of Africa. Remember that under the African Charter and human and people's rights, Africa has much as defined the specificities and the particularities and peculiarities of human rights that must be given pride of place. Otherwise, the Open Society is seen as trying to influence and undermine African culture in a negative way. And a number of countries are very sensitive to the activities of Open Society in the sphere of human rights. Be that as it may, they continue their activities. It is also important that in the area of democratization, and remember that the open society gets into the democratic space from a standpoint of what one may call Western democracy, what at one time the Tanzanian president described as the Coca-Colarization of democracy. This idea that there is one size fits all democracy, which is conceived in Washington, conceived in London, conceived in Paris, conceived in Brussels, then is handed down to African countries to accept willy-nilly. There are countries that are now beginning to question, why should they tell us what to do in the area of democracy? Why should they tell us that democracy equals to liberalism, that democracy equals to multi-party politics, that democracy equals to abuse and use of press in the manner that is understood in the West, that democracy equals to acceptance of LGBTQ? These are things that are making people very uncomfortable with the activities of open society, particularly because we have seen in a number of countries which, under the guise of democracy, then fall into anarchy. We have seen countries such as Sudan, which is in anarchy as we speak. We have seen the difficulties that are to be found in South Sudan. We have seen the difficulties that are to be found in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And even in Kenya, despite our relative stability, we have seen that there is problem with electoral processes. And this idea that we as Africans must be dictated to under the guise of education, because those who speak about and against open society and Soro talk about the Sororization of democracy in Africa. And this means that they are coming here with a view to influence processes and to create marionettes and puppets whom they can control in whichever manner that they may. This is contentious, but remember in the year 2017, and this has been denied by George Soros, he was actually accused of being behind the attempted coup d'etat in Equatorial Guinea. Of course, we know that there has been a denial, but that tells you the perception that exists, that in as much as the open society and George Soros by extension appear to be very benign in the activities in which they engage, there are those who take the view that when the things are not going in the direction in which they want, they can use strong arm methods. But we are conscious of the denial, and the jury remains out as to whether or not the accusations are true or not. In the area of medical intervention, it is an area that remains very contentious in the health sector, and one can never argue that Africa continues to suffer, particularly in that area, and we know that the open society has been very active in that area. But yet again, even as we talk about that activity, the question is, what impact is being felt on the ground? That is not to take away the fact that the primary role of dealing with health and healthcare is that of African governments through the use of taxes that are paid by the people. Another important area where the George Soros group were very active is the Millennium Villages. We know that it was a consortia of many people that were involved in raising funds for this particular enterprise. But the Millennium Villages were useful. They were based on what was assumed to be identification of the needs of communities in Africa. But I think one of the problems that we have with many Western NGOs, including the Open Society, is the assumption that they have the monopoly of knowledge and wisdom, and that they are able, sitting in whichever offices they are sitting in London or Washington or Paris or whichever part of the world, to conceive solutions for Africa and then to cascade them to their regional offices, which then implement them for the benefit of the people of Africa. I think that the open society also suffers from that particular malaise or malady, and the reason and the effect of that is that despite the best intention of the best of them, sometimes their impact is essentially a storm in a cup of tea. So going forward, what must they do? They must, because we must interact with the world, because we know that philanthropy is a good thing, because they're expending their dollars and their euros and their shillings and their nairas and their cedis in the continent of Africa. But what is important is that they must appreciate and understand that Africans must jointly with them, with friends of goodwill, identify what is in the best needs or what is in the best interest of the continent of Africa. Otherwise, what is thought to be philanthropy? Otherwise, what is thought to be good for the continent of Africa? Otherwise, what is needed by Africa will have minimal impact and will be poo-pooed by those who ought to embrace them. So open society, Africa is simply asking you, in whatever you do, be open. When you are in education, be open. Whether you are in health, be open. Whether it's in democracy, be open. Whether it's in press freedom, be open. Whether it is in the medical sector, be open. And when you are open in that way, you'll find an Africa that is willing. But Africa is now getting tired, and rightly so, of groups and institutions which think they are doing well or think that they mean well for Africa, but think that Africans are tails to be wagged. Africa now takes the view that they must take charge of their affairs and work jointly with friends of goodwill. So open society, be open as you engage the continent of Africa. Thank you very much. Our discussions on the continent of Africa are discussions that never end as quickly as we desire. But we take a break and we will come back the next time to continue engaging on the continent of Africa. Thank you very much.